In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Today I'm going to talk about temptation. Temptation and how to deal with it. Because so many people don't get it. They experience one temptation after another, and either they just allow the temptations to continue in their life and they end up falling into sin, or they think that the temptation is in itself a sin. First of all, there's something you have to understand is that temptation is always going to be there. I mean, I asked my spiritual director when I was in the seminary, I asked him, how long would these temptations last? And the first thing he said was, well, he said, figure out exactly how long you're going to live and then add a week. And I was stunned because I thought, never will they end? And he says, of course not. Because there is no such thing as a saint who hasn't suffered temptation. Temptations are literally means of growing in grace. You cannot become a saint of patience unless you struggle with impatience. You cannot become a saint of purity unless you struggle with impurity. That's just the way we're made. You see, temptations are opportunities. And we're not really guilty of anything as long as the temptation is there until the brain kicks in. Have you ever had a temptation, no matter what it is, and all of a sudden, after a couple minutes or a couple seconds, you all of a sudden your brain hits and you say, whoa, wait a second, I don't want this, and you throw it away. That is a grace. And you are not responsible for that temptation until the brain kicks in. Once it does, you have a choice to make. You can either go with the flow, which would mean embrace the temptation, and then it can become sinful, or you can put a stop to the temptation. So in other words, temptations are instruments. They're tools in order to strengthen our will and to strengthen our virtue. Now, I got to tell you something else about temptation. You see, there are some temptations that come from nature. In other words, from our eating habits, and they make us more inclined to certain things and less inclined to others. For example, if you're going to pray and you're eating too much, they don't work too well together, because if you eat too much, you tend to fall asleep, therefore you can't really pray. Drinking and prayer doesn't mix, although there are some people who will tell you that whenever they drink, they really have beautiful hours of prayer. And I doubt very much if it's praying that they're talking about. But leave that as it may. We have to understand the temptation itself, and we have to understand what we can do with it. But usually, if we look at a temptation, for example, against anything, a temptation to laziness, usually, and this is very, very strange it may seem, but usually the temptation shows us exactly where God is drawing us. You see, the devil, when he tempts us, he sees the grace of God much clearer than you and I do. He sees what God's grace is working inside the soul and how the grace is being given for this and for that and each movement of grace and how God is drawing that soul toward itself. You see, God doesn't prod or push or yank. He draws. He beckons. And the devil, remember, was one of the most beautiful of all the angels. And it wasn't physical beauty we're talking about. It's beauty of intellect. So Satan and his minions are extraordinarily intelligent, and they can see this grace of God working in you. So what is the devil going to do? He wants to do as much damage to you as he can. He wants to turn you completely contrary to what God's grace is drawing you. So the devil will almost always tempt you in the exact opposite direction that grace is drawing you. And so therefore, we can tell by the temptations that we experience exactly what God's grace is meant for our lives. We can tell if God is calling us to live a life of chastity, if he's calling us to live a life of patient endurance, if he's calling us to a life of perfect charity or obedience or, you know, poverty. These are the ways that we know God's grace within us. So the devil, even though he may have been the greatest, the most beautiful of all the angels before the fall, he inadvertently informs us as to what God's grace is doing within us. So temptations are literal opportunities. It depends on what we do with them. If we take them, once our brain kicks in, because remember, that's the case with everything. Say, for example, you gossip or you lose your temper. Sometimes, and most of the time, in fact, that was the case with me most of my life, the mouth moves before the brain does. And so if that's the case, as soon as the brain kicks in, that's when you're responsible for your temper. And that's when you have a decision. Either you can continue losing your patience, or you can stop and you can turn to whoever heard you and say something like, oh, listen, I'm sorry, I lost my temper. Say a prayer for me, I'm working on it. And then say what you were going to say, but with peace. These are the ways that we begin to deal with temptations. It's not a matter of thinking that the temptation makes you bad. The temptation has nothing to do with how good or bad you are. It's simply an opportunity. So next time you're tempted, when the brain kicks in, you realize what's happening. It's then you must decide to be with Christ or against Christ, with virtue or against virtue. It's a simple choice to make because, my brothers and sisters, just as sin is a choice, so is heaven a choice. So is hell a choice. Goodness and evil are choices. We are not bound by any natural thing that forces us to be evil. We choose to be good. We choose to love. We choose to give. That is what temptation can do for the soul who loves. God bless you.